He's been someone that I've always looked up to. He was one of the, you know, with the cousins. He was one of the older cousins of that I looked up to. He was one of the cool kids that when I was younger I looked up to, and so it's always been, you know, the way I've kind of viewed him, because he was active. And he had a motorcycle, and he was, you know, active, and he had a motorcycle, and you know, so it was always, you know, something that as a child I looked up to and admired him. And as I've grown older, there are other qualities that I've learned to appreciate, and one thing I've always appreciated is his sincerity, his love for others. I know he displayed that many times in his life, and it's something that I truly appreciate and enjoy. I know that he always comes to this desk humbled by the responsibility, and I ask that you would give him your prayers and your careful attention to our brother, Elder Jerry Case.
I think I'm on. Am I on? That must be a first. I've actually started talking with my mic on. Thank you, Bob. I really have a lot on my mind this evening, and I appreciate your prayers that I be able to express it. I would title the sermon this evening, Come Lord Jesus. And I'd have you understand that a couple of different ways. I know sometimes my kids have been, they don't like to think about Jesus coming again and the end of the world and all these things that are going to happen before they get to do stuff. You know, that's a serious thought. And I do want to think about that. But I mean it another way also. And it has to do with today, this minute, about the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there's times in our lives that, you know, we're looking at things like baptism and belief. And we're making that effort to come to Jesus. There's other times we may have even made that step in our life, and through all the busyness and stuff, somehow we feel ourselves drifted away, a little separate. Maybe not bad, just less close than we felt before. And so we, again, come, Lord Jesus. Revelation's third chapter, 20th verse. I got too much to read tonight, so I'd like for you to take notes, seriously. Revelation's third chapter, 20th verse, I'm going to start with, Behold, I stand at the door, these are the words of Jesus, and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to start reading another scripture, and then I'm going to stop because something happened to me on the way home the other day that I'd like to talk about. Chapter 14 of St. John, starting with the first verse, says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I was driving home the other day, and that day I happened to be working out close to Fountain Hills at that big Mayo Clinic that's clear out there on Shea. I was driving home. Traffic was particularly heavy, and I was just, you know, driving slow and go, you know, like you do, thinking, well, kind of dismissing the plans I had for when I got home because I wasn't sure I was going to get there quick enough. And I'm not sure why, but I feel like, excuse me, a number of you have spoken in your sermons and in your testimonies about the things that rested on my heart. And it had to do with the fact there was just some incredible reality that what Christ did for us, there is nothing else in the history of man, nothing else that reflects that magnitude. Nothing. I thought of the incredible storms that happened when he was crucified, and how the land was turned on end here. Cities sank into the sea, were covered up. It was an incredible time. 3 days of darkness that you and I have never experienced. But it doesn't touch how large it was, how great it was, what he did for me individually. The opportunity that he gave for me, that is eternal. Everything else kind of has a carnal or a beginning and an end date. Everything we know, except that. I'll tell you later. We'll talk about that one later. Let's go with Luke, the second chapter, and keep your finger in the 14th chapter of St. John. Luke, the second chapter, I'd like to read verse 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. I'm very visual when I think of things, and when I picture the angels appearing to those shepherds, I feel like I'm one of the shepherds in that field. And my heart just swells to think of the significance of the visit of those angels, and that they're saying, you know, the prophecies that have been given, tonight's the night. It's now. And to actually get to see those angels, it says, yeah, they were so afraid. But what good news. What good news. Let's go back now. I'm going to start again in St. John 14th chapter. I'm going to start reading with verse 4. I'll start reading with verse 3, even though I already read it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Have you thought about the importance of those words? Here, when he spoke these things, I'm not sure he got the reaction that I would have expected, because he was speaking to his disciples. It says, and whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I can't read that one without smiling. We used to have Bible school when I was living in Cincinnati, and one of the little kids from the neighborhood, we had a memory verse, and we tried to teach the kids the memory verse, and this was one of them. And I just remember this little kid, my wife was trying to teach him this memory verse, and she couldn't stop laughing because she would say, okay, now say what I say. And she'd say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he'd say, no man cometh unto the Father but by you. And she couldn't get him to realize that she wanted him to say me, you know, and she was trying to just give him the verse. But no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Part of what's in my heart tonight has to do with making sure that every one of us realizes that we can come to church and fail. It's like getting in the vehicle and never arriving. Because the destination is Jesus. I'm going to read it a little later, but I'm going to jump over and read it again now. Chapter 15 of St. John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. First verse, chapter 15. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You know, I can stand up here and I can say, hey, I'm wearing a white shirt and tie. Listen to me. But you know, it doesn't prove a thing. I'm not your guy. I'm not your guy. Jesus is. And every time one of us ministry stand up here, it's to give him. It's to bring him. It's to lead you to him. We don't want you. We don't want you as our follower. It's just like Paul said. You know, he told some people, he said, I'm thankful that I didn't baptize any of you. He said, it's the Lord who gives the increase. And that's who you have to make up your mind that you're going to spend every minute of your life dedicating to, seeking out. When you talk about your eye being single, that's your guy. That's your guy. It's Jesus. That's your guy. Back to that 14th chapter. Thomas said unto him, this is 5th chapter, or 5th verse of the 14th chapter. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from whenceforth ye know him and have seen him. And henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How can you lose your place when you're reading continuously? Verse 13, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide in you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. I can't just read by that. I'm going to read that 21st verse again, and I want you to think about it in relation to yourself. I want you to think about it as a promise. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Sometimes when I'm reading, I have trouble reading through because of verses like this. I have something that happened to me where I did perceive Jesus in great detail. It was a whole story to me just to look at him. But let me tell you something that's hard to describe. When he looked at me, there was nothing hidden. Nothing. He saw. He understood. He knew. He knew in a way you and I can't know each other. He knew. And there was nothing I could hide. And it was so comforting. Before him, there's nothing to explain. Nothing. He knows. Every pain, every struggle, he knows. He knows completely. Can't be hidden from him. What a friend. What a friend. What do you think? When I was a kid, I'd sit with my cousins and we'd talk about stuff like this. And I can remember some of us being afraid of that idea. Wow, what if he appeared? I'd be scared, you know. Or the shepherds in the field, when the angel appeared, they were so afraid. I wish each and every one of you that the Lord God would manifest himself to you, that you would. You know, there's a responsibility in that. It says, and he that hath my commandments. I believe that does describe us. That does describe us. And keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Truly, I'm not offering this as an idea or a neat thing. I literally want you to understand it as an inescapable choice. In this life, you must make a decision. And you will come to him, or you never will. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall judge you, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Come, Lord Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit be with us. Teach us. Let us crave the truth. Want to know the truth more than we want support for our own belief. It doesn't do us any good to just support our own belief. It's to know the truth, the very word that he spoke, given to him by his Father. I felt like it was so important what our brother Bob Oldham was trying to illustrate for us last Sunday night when he talked about the conversation between he and our brother Nicholas Denham, and how Nicholas kept saying to him, you know, you say you believe this, have you read it? That couldn't be a more important question. And I can tell you when. It's now. And in fact, now is late. We come to grasp the rod of iron. We don't come to have somebody grasp it and then try to hang on to us. We can't depend on that. We, me and you, have to take a hold of that rod of iron ourselves. Those are the words of God. And having those and keeping those, we won't be lost. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Let me reread that one. And now I have told you before it come to pass. He's told us before it comes to pass. That when it is come to pass, ye might believe. And that is the testimony of the prophets. And these things can happen to you personally. I went through a very difficult time in my life. I was in college. I had a girlfriend. I was in love. We were talking about getting married. One night we went to gym class because we were fellow students in the nursing school, and played basketball, and I remember complaining because she was really good at basketball, and she just didn't have it that night. I said, come on. What's wrong with you? I don't know. And I felt so stupid. I feel stupid right now because of saying those things to her. The next morning I was in class and knock at the door. And three nursing students, that were all my friends too, came to the door and they asked for me. And so I went into the door and they took me out of class. And I went up to the ICU, and she was in the ICU, and she was just deathly ill. She died about 5:30 the next morning. And at that time in my life, it was something I couldn't comprehend. Just can't be real. But let me back up just a little bit. Because I'm talking about this verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass. I told you before it come to pass that when it has come to pass, you might believe. I was in bed one night about a month before this. And I was standing in a hallway at the hospital. And these big doors opened, and her name was Helen Wieners. She was a friend of mine. She and I carpooled to school, another one of the nursing students. And she just couldn't talk enough about her fiancé, neatest guy. And she was one of those people that was very loyal. But in this dream, these doors open up, and she comes out of that door with the most passionate look on her face. And she's looking at me. And she comes right straight at me, and she just grabs me, and she just hugs me and won't let go. And I thought, that is the stupidest dream. It makes no sense because I know her. She would never. She would never. She's in love with this other guy. Well, Leanne passed away that morning. And my mom was in the same hospital waiting to have surgery for cancer. And she had come downstairs, and she and I were standing in the hallway leaning against the wall. My mom had her arm around me, and we were just kind of standing there. And all the nursing students were in the chapel having a little service because of what had happened. And the door opened up, and Lois came out of there with the most passionate look on her face. She came straight at me. She grabbed me and she just held me. She said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what it meant when I dreamt it. But it happened exactly like that in every detail. And it was because he loved me. He told me before. So that when it came to pass, regardless of how hard it was, I would believe. I would believe. You and I will go through so many things in life. But we must believe. We must believe. We must pay attention. We must entertain the Holy Ghost. Crave it. Keep his commandments. We go and we open the door and we bid him, Lord Jesus, come in. Come in and sup with me. I'm not talking about go to church. I'm talking way beyond that. I'm saying you must yourself hang on to Jesus. When you read, don't use it just as a study reference. Where you know, I have a belief and I've got to find those two verses that you know, quote what and support what I believe. That's not what you want. You want to read till you know him. You want the Holy Ghost to teach you Jesus so that you don't know about him. You don't know about him. You abide in him. There's not another way that we can be anything except we abide in him. Hereafter, I will not talk with you. For the prince, hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And before I depart from that, that's something you and I all have to deal with. Because when we're at work, when we're at school, we get so involved. And we let our heart get so possessed by the affairs and the cares of this world. I don't mean we're doing wrong. I'm just saying we can't take our eye off of Jesus. About 9, 10 years ago, I was sitting maybe about where Katie was sitting, and we were visiting here, and it was a Wednesday night. We had a prayer service. During that prayer service, my stomach started to hurt, and I pretty much tried to ignore it, but by the end of the service, I was having trouble standing. Cindy ended up taking me straight to the ER. And I was so sick, I couldn't sit in a chair. I was laying on the floor in the waiting room. I'm taking too many words to tell you this, because really all I'm wanting to tell you is that there's a guy that came out to take care of me, and they got me on a gurney, and they were wheeling me, and Cindy was just on that guy, just saying, thank you so much, thank you for all your help and everything. And he was going, maybe you'll remember this, it's all about the love. It's all about the love. I remember him saying that. Well, it is. It is. It's all about the love. It's more than just knowing his words. It's loving him and loving his Father. It's that thing that makes someone who's fallen in love ridiculous. And you all know the young'un who's fallen in love with this guy, and he's just so cool, and they can't stop talking about it. It is ridiculous. Can't be different. We need to be that way. We need to be so in love with him that it's ridiculous. It's got to possess us. I am the true vine. Chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now we are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth not, him that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye. In my love. I want to turn back to Numbers, the 21st chapter, verse 5. This happened while Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. And I'm just pulling a little chunk out of it as an example. Numbers, the 21st chapter, I'm going to start reading with verse 5. I'm going to read 5 through 9. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now I'm going to turn over to read about it again, because this is going to refer to what happened in the wilderness. It's in Alma, the 16th chapter. It's on page 426. I'm going to start reading. Verse 188. For it is not written, it is not written that Zenas alone spake of these things, but Zenok also spake of these things. For behold, he saith, thou art angry, O Lord, with this people, because they will not understand of thy mercies which thou hast bestowed upon them because of thy son. And now, my brethren, ye see that a second prophet of old has testified of the Son of God. And because the people would not understand his words, they stoned him to death. But behold, this is not all. These are not the only ones which have spoken concerning the Son of God. Behold, he was spoken of by Moses. Yea, and behold, a type was raised up in the wilderness, that whosoever would look upon it might live. And many did look and live, but few understood the meaning of those things, and this because of the hardness of their hearts. But there were many which were so hardened that they would not look, therefore they perished. Now the reason that they would not look is because they did not believe that it would heal them. Oh, my brethren, if ye could be healed by merely casting about your eyes, that ye might be healed, would ye not behold quickly? Or would ye rather harden your hearts in unbelief and be slothful, that ye would not cast about your eyes, that ye might perish? And that is exactly our state. We must look. We must behold that he might heal us. I'm going to turn to Revelations. I'm almost done here. I'm turning to Revelations, the 21st chapter. And in Revelation 21, I'm going to read the first eight verses, starting with verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, but the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And let me skip over a few verses here, and I'm going to start reading Revelations 22. I'm going to start with the first verse, and I'm going to read through this short chapter. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. I imagine these things in my heart. And he tells us before. He tells us before. And when it comes to pass, we can believe. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree for the healing, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God, and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Think about that. Think about that. When I stand up here at this desk, I'm a fellow servant with the angels. When you sit in your pickup off in some remote place on the earth where people are kind of not getting to go to church, and yet you came to visit, and you're sitting in your pickup and you're serving them sacrament right there in your pickup. You're serving with the angels. The glory is completely about God. God, who sent his son to be born in a rack for hay, as the poorest of the poor. So I'm not talking about a glory of this earth. I'm talking about serving with the angels. When you see the poor and you try to help them and you try to clothe them, you're serving with the angels. A fellow servant. When you sit and with that patience that only a mother or a father can know, and what I mean by that is you don't feel like you're patient. You may be at the end of your rope even, but you keep trying. You keep teaching. And when you're doing that, you are a fellow servant with the angels. Verse 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, what's worship mean? Before I pass it up. It means to show up and sit in a pew. Anybody want to correct me? What did the guy say in the emergency room? He said, it's all about the love. That's what worship is. That's what worship is. It's something that possesses you. Something that makes you want to burst. Something that makes you want to give him glory and to show what kind of a father he is, what kind of a friend he is. That's worship. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be, according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The past few days, we've beheld some really big things. I remember how big of a thing it was when I stood up and I married my wife. It brought all those things back. To watch as Jared and Katie made their vows and dedicated their life to each other. And the advice of the one who married them was to dedicate their lives to Jesus. And we saw the end of a life that was a good example for us. We were reminded that clock is ticking. The life here as we know it is temporary. And it now is the time for us to decide to serve God Sorry, I closed my book. I just wanted to read that last little thing again. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.